And I see you're all making progress. Right? Okay, that's good. We all want to be making progress, okay? I'll be checking every week. And you men, I'll be asking your wife how you're doing. You're going to have to pay her a little bit, Ron. Okay, let's bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, a day where God's people can gather. And Father, it's such a privilege to gather around the things of the Lord and have the Word of God preached and songs and hymns that we can sing, fellowship that we can have together. It's a beautiful thing to see God's people walking together with their Lord and with each other. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us as we look at a very important subject again today, as every message obviously is important as we preach the Word of God faithfully. We pray that we might allow your Word to speak to our hearts and that the desire of our hearts as each one of us as believers might be to be perfect, perfect before God, perfect in our walk with him, perfect in our fellowship. So, Lord, we just pray and ask for your help, and we believe that you will, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting right off on the sheet this morning, you notice I made an error that I corrected in everybody's handout sheet. You see a 20 written above there in 2 Kings. You will have to go to 2 Kings chapter 20, obviously, to find this passage of Scripture. And so we made the correction there. Sorry about that. It looks kind of messy, but whatever. So let's read 1 Kings chapter 20, beginning with verses 1 through 5. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. What a message from the prophet. And then verse 2, And he turned his face to the wall, that is Hezekiah, and prayed unto the Lord, saying, Now pay careful attention to his prayer, verse 3. I beseech thee, O Lord, the word beseech implies I beg, I plead with you. I plead with you, O Lord. I beseech you, O Lord. remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass that before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Now let's go back and look at a couple of thoughts, and then we'll go to our notes. So when Isaiah was asked to deliver the message to Hezekiah, notice how he begins his message, Thus saith the Lord. Hezekiah, here's the message that I have from God. And notice what the message is. Thou shalt die and not live. Wow, Isaiah or Hezekiah, you're going to die. And obviously Hezekiah took the matter seriously. And he goes to pray. And as we already mentioned from verse number 3, he pleads with God in prayer. Now, question. I want you to look at yourself for just a minute. I want you to think about yourself. I know not all praying is pleading with God. But on occasion when you pray, do you come before God and plead with him? Plead with him. Beg him. That's appropriate. That's an order. And he pleads and says, O Lord, remember now. And he says, remember. Question, does God forget? Obviously not. God doesn't forget. But he wants to remind God for his own sake. So he says, Lord, remember. And then the next statement he makes in verse 3, I have walked before thee in truth, which means, God, you gave us your word, and I purposed in my heart to walk with you and to live in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. I have purposed to do what you have written in your word. And you're going to find out as we go through this series on being perfect that God puts a lot of emphasis on the little word do. Do. So he's saying, God, I have purposed to do what you have written in your word. You can't live a successful, victorious Christian life unless you purpose to do what God has written consistently, and emphasis on the word consistently. As a believer, make up your mind. Get alone with God. Talk to him. Cry out to him for his help. God, help me to do what you have written in your word, to live by what you have written in your word. So Hezekiah, he could come to God in prayer and he could say, God, remember, I have purposed to walk with you and to do what you've written in your word. He honestly, with all of his heart, that was the purpose of his life. And then the next statement he makes, with a perfect heart, imagine, he comes to God and he says, God, remember, I've purposed to do, and with a perfect heart, with all of my heart, I've committed myself to walk by your word and to be pleasing in your sight. I wish we as Bible-believing Christians today would purpose and live like Hezekiah did in the Old Testament. If he, as an Old Testament saint, could have this testimony before God, there's no reason in the world why you and I, as God's people, New Testament Bible-believing Christians, couldn't be the same. That we purpose to walk before God with a perfect heart. And lest I forget to mention, which I want to do often as we go through this series, I want to remind you, start your day by asking God to help you to go through the day with a perfect heart. And as you go through the day and you are tempted to think something, do something, read something, watch something, whatever, the moment you are confronted with a test and a challenge, immediately say, God, I want to have a perfect heart. I want victory in this matter, this weakness of my flesh. God, will you help me? Because God, my desire before you is to be a Bible-believing Christian that walks before you with a perfect heart. You suppose God will honor that? You suppose he will? Absolutely, brother and sister. If the desire of your heart is to walk before the Lord with a perfect heart, he will. Make it a way of life that every hour of every day you purpose to walk before God with a perfect heart, on purpose, determined before God, with the help of the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, to walk before him, to obey him with a perfect heart. That's a challenge to me as a preacher and an old man. It'll be a challenge to you. But it's not an unattainable goal that we're talking about here. We're looking at an Old Testament king. And when he comes to God in prayer, he reminds God of how he's walked. He's done that which is good in God's sight. And then the last thing in verse number 3, Hezekiah wept sore. Why is he weeping? He just got the word from the prophet Isaiah that, get your house in order, man, you're going to die. You suppose Hezekiah was afraid to die? I don't think so. Can I say this? A Bible-believing Christian, a person who has a real walk with the Lord every day, you're not afraid to die. Not afraid to die. Why would you be afraid to die? Because what is death anyway? It is simply this. It is your spirit and soul leaving this earthly shell that you live in, leaving it down here, leaving it behind, and heading off to the presence of God forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whew. What could be better than dying? God made us so we don't want to die. That's natural. That's normal. We want to live. I want to live. Hezekiah wanted to live. And you want to live. But let's live for the Lord. But let's not fear death. We have nothing to fear. Might I say this? You're really going to start living when you leave this life behind and you take on the eternal life in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. Now you're really starting to live. Let's look at our notes. Notice, first of all, the confidence that Hezekiah has in God when he comes before him in prayer. He's got confidence in God. How does a person have confidence in God? Confidence in God comes out of a daily walk with the Lord. You walk according to His word. You purpose to live by what is written in His word. And when you come to God in prayer, you can have confidence. Why would we not have confidence? If we're born again of God's Spirit, if we're God's children, if God is my Father and Christ is my Savior and the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me, why wouldn't I have confidence in prayer? And let me add one more thing. If you have confidence in God and confidence in prayer, that is all you need. You say, hey, just a minute, man, wake up. I need a whole lot of physical things as well to get through this life. Granted, you need some. But if you have confidence in God in prayer, trusting and believing that God will hear your cry and will answer your prayer, God will take care of your every need. Amen, brother and sister? God in heaven has committed himself to take care of his people. Hello, man, I feel like shouting so loud. You know why? I don't have to take care of me. I have a Father in heaven who has committed himself to taking care of me because I am one of his children. It doesn't get better than that. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated, not educated, what your strata in life is, all of the rest, that doesn't matter one whit. But to have confidence in God and to know the reality of his presence in your heart and life, that is all you need. God will take care of you. Hezekiah, you're going to die. And he prayed and God graciously answered. But the point I'm trying to make is he had confidence in God. Point number two, a person who walks before God with a perfect heart can know it. Is that right? A person who walks before God with a perfect heart can know it. That's why Hezekiah could come to God in prayer and say, God, I want to remind you, I walk before you with a perfect heart. Do you have that testimony? Let's put it this way. Could you right now say that before God? I have walked before you with a perfect heart. Lord, as I look back at this last week, I walked before you with a perfect heart. If you could say that and that you'd be honest and real with that before God, you had a great week, irregardless of what physically went on in your life or the world around you. And point number three, even people who walk before the Lord with a perfect heart get sick and die, right? There's no way out of this world without dying. And Hezekiah obviously was ready to die, but he cried out to God that he might live. He still had some things that he wanted to accomplish in life, Point number four, Hezekiah had purposed in his life to live in obedience to the word of God. We've already covered that. Point number five, God chose to answer Hezekiah's prayer immediately. Now, you and I both know, if we've been walking with the Lord for a while, not all prayers are answered immediately. Some are, some are not. Some might take a bit of time, some might take a lot of time. A memory of George Mueller just came to mind, where he was known as one of the greatest praying men back in the 1800s in England. He's the man who had all the orphanages, and they had several thousand orphans that they had to feed 7 days a week. They had days when there was no food in the orphanage. They had nothing, and they sat down to eat breakfast, and there was no food. And they prayed, and God graciously answered. And there was a knock on the door, and a bread truck came by and said, for whatever reason, they had a whole truckload of bread, extra for some kind of a reason. God, listen, point I want to make is this. George Mueller was a praying man, and God heard his prayer. And it is said of George Mueller that he had a long prayer list of unsaved people he was praying for, and all but two or three of them he saw saved in his lifetime before he died. And the people who looked at his journal after he died saw the names of two or three men that hadn't been born again by the Spirit of God, and they got saved shortly after George Mueller's death. What point are we trying to make? God might answer prayer immediately. God might answer prayer in a while. That determined by the sovereign will of Almighty God, surely. And then point number six in our notes, God says he saw Hezekiah's tears. God saw his tears. Not only did God hear his prayer, but God saw the tears of Hezekiah. What does that tell us about God? What does that tell us? What kind of a God and Father do we have, brother and sister? We have a God who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But the point from the first part of that verse, we have a God who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. In the Old Testament, we find that when God had to chasten the nation of Israel at times because of their rebellion, their sin, and unbelief, that God says his heart was pained as he had to bring chastisement on his beloved people, the nation of Israel. We have a God who has a heart, who sees when our heart is broken, when we weep, when we cry out, when we feel hopeless and helpless. We have a God who can help. Let me give you a couple of supplemental verses that aren't in the text. Let me read to you Psalm 34, verse 18, and the Bible says this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is nigh who? Who is he close to? He's nigh unto them that have a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit. Contrite, what does that word mean? That's not a word that we commonly use. It means to be crushed. It means to be broken to pieces. If you take a piece of, take a glass plate and drop it on a concrete floor and it breaks into many pieces, that pictures something that's contrite. God is close to that person that's of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Let me give you one more verse. Psalm 51, verse 17, the Bible says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Then Isaiah 57, 15, "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high place and holy place with him," notice, "with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." What's God looking for in you, brother and sister? What is God looking for? To have a perfect heart, God's looking for a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and a person who is humble before God. That pictures Mr. Hezekiah. And when he got earnest and prayed to God, and he cried, here's a man, he's a king, he's an adult, he's no kid, he's a grown man, years of experience in the work, and he's pleading and weeping before God. Broken heart, contrite spirit, and humble before God. Are you getting a picture? Let's move on in our notes. Now we go backwards, actually, to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, and we'll look at Hezekiah again. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abi, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now, before we go on, let's stop and notice a couple of things. Here's a young man, 25 years old, and he becomes king. Are there any young guys here? You're in your 20s. I want to see your hand. You're in your 20s. Okay, there's two guys here, three guys here in your 20s, okay? Can you imagine you becoming the king of the nation of Judah, Benjamin, call it the southern two tribes of Israel. We'll just call them Israel. You become king. Tomorrow morning, you become king. Whew. What kind of king would you be? What kind of a king would you be? What kind of a king was Hezekiah? Verse 3 tells us about the king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. What's the point being made? He recognizes that he's a young man. And here's a young man at age 25, given a major responsibility, and he follows in the steps of one of his forefathers that God described as one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. And he follows David's example. Now, notice this young king, what he does next in verse 4. He removed the high places, broke down the images, cut down the groves, broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto it in the days of the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Before we turn the page, look at verse 4 again. What did he do? He removed the high places, and he broke down the images, and he cut down the groves. And anything that was connected to idolatry, he destroyed it. Now, before we go any farther, I want you to think about this. In order to be this perfect man that Hezekiah is pictured in the scripture as being, there are some things to get rid of. Have you got the picture? There are some things to get rid of. And I dare say, each one of us here this morning, that we have some things in our life that we need to get rid of. Because until we get rid of some things, we'll not be able to be this perfect person walking in the very presence of our awesome God until we get rid of some things. In this case, it says they got rid of idols. You say, well, this is 2023. We're long past having anything to do with idols. An idol can be anything in your life that comes between you and God. What is it that hinders you from having a real walk with a living God every day? What are you occupied with? When you have some free time, what do? Probably there are some idols that would be a good idea for you to get rid of as you pursue to be this perfect, obedient person before our Lord and God. Let's go to page 2 of our notes. Further about Hezekiah, the young king. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So when we're looking, mentioning here the kings of Judah, we're looking at the southern two tribes. The northern two tribes had gone into apostasy by this time, but the southern two tribes, they had their own king. There was no king like Hezekiah. Notice in verse 5, the first thing that's mentioned about him, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Question, when you trust God and absolutely trust him, God will take care of you. Look at verse 6. He cleaved to the Lord. Now, where have we seen that verse before? Or where have we seen that statement before? If you remember back, I don't know, a month or two back probably, we looked at the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses is recapping the history of the nation of Israel before they go into the promised land. And he makes the point that the people are to cleave to the Lord. Remember how we described that? Hang on to something with all of your might as if your life depended on it. Cleave to the Lord. And that pictures Hezekiah. He got rid of all of the idols, a thing that could have been a hindrance to his life. And he purposed to be a perfect man before God. And he cleaved to the Lord with all of his heart and mind and soul. Now you are looking at the steps of a man who was perfect with God. Follow him. Let's look at the next point. He departed not from following him. He departed not from following him. What does that mean? That implies he was consistent in his walk with God. Those of us who are older, who got saved when we were younger, we can all probably look back at times in our life and experience when we were not always consistent in our walk with God. How many people know what a jackrabbit is? Anybody here know what a jackrabbit is? They used to have them here years ago. They're probably all long dead and gone now. They basically got hunted out of this part of the country or disappeared because of urban development or who knows what, but we haven't seen jackrabbits in years. A jackrabbit is just a big rabbit. He's about probably three times as big as your regular rabbit that you see around now. One thing about a jackrabbit, he takes off and guess what? He's gone. Some Christians are like jackrabbits. They get saved or the Lord's spoken to their heart in a special meeting or something has happened in their life and man, they take off and run for the Lord. You know what generally happens to jackrabbit Christians? They don't keep running that long. What do we know here from Hezekiah? He departed not from following. I remember a sermon I heard back in the 70s, preached by a preacher from Texas, and he talked about the race between the turtle and the hare. Everybody heard about that story? I'm not going to tell you the story. But they're in a race. A rabbit's in a race with a turtle. It would seem like the rabbit would win, right? But in the story, the turtle wins. You know why he wins? He just keeps plodding along, and he never stops, never. And the rabbit says, man, I ran so fast, I can take a break for an hour or two. And while he's taking a break under a shade tree, the turtle goes plodding by. And the rabbit is so confident. What a stupid story. Why am I wasting my time with that? But brother and sister, are you starting to get the point? To be a Bible-believing Christian that is perfect with God is somebody who starts their week off the first day of the week. This is the Lord's day, the first day of the week. Walking with the Lord, and Monday he walks with the Lord, and Tuesday he walks with the Lord, and Wednesday he walks with the Lord, and every day he purposes to walk with the Lord and be a man and woman of a perfect heart before God 7 days in the week. Not bang, yeah, I'm enthusiastic. And then 2 weeks later, a month later, bang, it's all back down to nothing again. That kind of a person in his Christian life, not going very far. God have mercy on us and help us to be like Hezekiah in this regard. Depart not from following him. Notice the next thing in verse number 6. And he kept the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. This matter of being obedient to the word of God comes up over and over again from the beginning of the Bible, starting in Genesis chapter 3 to the end of the book of Revelation. This manner of walking in obedience to the word of God, doing what God said. Doing what God said. Listen, brother and sister. God gave us his word, right? This is the words of the living God, right? God gave us this book so that we would live by what is written in this book, actually doing every day what's written in this book. That's what defines biblical Christianity. Not somebody who starts and then goes who knows where and does whatever. God is exceedingly loving, kind, gracious, and merciful. But God is not loose and sloppy. And God demands perfection. And God has made provision for you and I to be perfect in our daily walk with him. Man, live by what's written in his word. Do every day, every hour, do what is written in the word of God. Obey the word of God. That identifies you as a Bible-believing Christian. Hezekiah kept the commandments. Now, making that statement, sound like, hey, are you putting us back under the Old Testament law? Of course not. Of course not. We're not saved by the law. We're not kept by the law. The New Testament teaches us there's no power in the law. That's right, right? There's no power in the law. Like I've used the illustration probably 100 times in the last 40 years, that stop sign at the end of our street, that stop sign doesn't make you stop. The stop sign, like the law, says stop. You don't have to stop. You can go sailing through. The law can't make you stop. But what does make you live by what's written in the Word of God? The Spirit of God in the heart and life of a Bible-believing Christian makes the Bible-believing Christian pick up this book and say, God, I'm living by what's written here. That will identify me as one of your children. Jesus the Christ is alive and well in me. Your Holy Spirit is alive and well in me, my Father. And I want to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. I'll live by what's written in your word. So Hezekiah lived by what was written in the word of God. And notice in verse number 7, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. Now, every Christian would want verse number 7 as applying to their life. The Lord was with him. God with him, the Lord with him. My question to you this morning, are you conscious of the Lord with you? Are you conscious of the Lord with you? That can be an absolute reality in your daily Christian life as you strive after perfection, because you want to please him, you want to glorify him, and you purpose in your heart, according to his word, just to do what God said, walk in fellowship with him. There is nothing on or in this earth that compares to a Bible-believing Christian who has a real walk with the living God every day. There's nothing in this world compares to. Because God made us in his likeness and his image. And when we purpose to walk according to his word, we are conscious of his very presence. Drop down page 2, middle of the page, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, and we have these two verses, 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. If you have a pen with you, I would suggest you underline this. If our heart condemn us not, if the Spirit of God does not convict us right now that there are things in our life that are displeasing to God, the second point made in verse number 21, then we can have confidence toward God. Now, if we have confidence toward God like Hezekiah did, as we've read above, according to verse 22 of 1 John chapter 3, we can ask, we can receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, the Christian life is doing what is written in the Word of God and doing that consistently. May God help us. We've got to skip some things here, so let's jump to page 3 of our notes and let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 18. Chronicles 29, verse 18 and 19. The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. Verse 19. Now we've repeated this verse often. Give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. So the point why we brought up this passage of scripture, David is praying for his son Solomon, and he's praying that God would give Solomon a perfect heart. Now, is that a good thing to pray? Obviously, it wouldn't be in the Bible if it were not. So what I see in this as an encouragement to you and I today, parents, pray that God would have your children live with and have a perfect heart toward the Lord. Mom and Dad, you have kids? You have children, what some people are offended by the name kids, but whatever. Parents, pray for your children that God would give them a perfect heart. You say, but my kids are all grown up. Yeah, so are mine. They're all in their 50s. They're getting old. There's something going on when you got old kids, right? Should I pray for my children that God would give them a perfect heart? Absolutely, man. How about my grandkids? Should I pray that God would give them a perfect heart? And now my great-grandkids, should I pray that God would give them a perfect heart? And should I pray like Hezekiah prayed? Dead serious, earnest, beseeching, pleading before God with tears that God would give the descendants in my family a perfect heart, that God would give to the people of Bethel Baptist Church a perfect heart, that they might know the riches and the glory and the blessing of being a people with a perfect heart. May God help us. Let's look at the notes on page 3. David's prayer for Solomon, he asked God to give his son a perfect heart. Next point, God wants all of our hearts involved in love and obedience, service and sacrifice and praise and worship. Let's drop down. We should pray for a perfect heart. With that prayer comes the need to be totally surrendered to the will of the Lord. The desire to have a perfect heart is the beginning point in the process. When that is in place, the Holy Spirit will begin to work that into reality. Begin at once to serve God with a perfect heart, walk in obedience with a perfect heart, fellowship among God's people with a perfect heart. Then you will experience the riches of God's grace. Point being made, just determine to have a perfect heart with God. The requirement of a perfect heart is a command and an immediate duty. The perfect heart will draw the believer into a glorious place of fellowship with God. The believer who desires to experience the blessings of a perfect heart will grow in grace and will grow in the likeness to the person and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, remember what God said to Abraham in Genesis 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. I guess age doesn't matter, does it? Age doesn't matter. Young king like Hezekiah, 25 years old. Old man like Abraham, 99 years old. God requires his people walk before him with a perfect heart. Page 4 of our notes. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16. Asa is the king of Judah, being spoken of here. And the Bible says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Let's look back at verse 8 again. A huge host is coming against Judah. Very many chariots, horses, like hundreds of them, possibly thousands of horses and hundreds of chariots. And here these foot soldiers look at themselves, and what chance do they have? If this battle is going to be a normal battle, fought without God on either side, what'll happen? Judah would be annihilated. But what do we see in verse number 8? And Judah relied on the Lord. Is that the key? Absolutely trusted the Lord. Could I ask you, my brother and sister, to go through life trusting in the Lord, relying on the Lord? Doesn't matter, young or old, brother and sister, just trust the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Just depend on him. And the Lord delivered this enemy into the hand of Judah. Now, verse 9. And we refer to this verse probably a dozen times so far this year, but let me do it again because it's such a great verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What's God looking for? Why is he scanning the earth? What's he looking for? To show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What's God want to do? What does God want to do? What is God looking for? By the way, is God still doing this today? I absolutely believe so. Absolutely. So I want you to picture this. God in heaven, looking down on this little planet. And when I say little planet, if you've seen that documentary, I can't even remember the name of it now anymore, but they show a satellite image of Earth when the satellite is close to the Earth, and then the satellite is traveling away from Earth, and the image of Earth gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until it disappears. In the Milky Way, which is 100,000 light years across, this little planet, Almighty God has placed people, because Almighty God wants to reveal the reality of himself to these people. He wants to show himself strong through people. But God doesn't just take anybody either. God is particular in whom he will show himself strong through. God's looking for a people who trust him, who obey him, who want in a perfect heart to live for him, love him, and serve him. And when God finds this person with a perfect heart, Almighty God, the creator of all that exists, he wants to show himself strong through that person's life. Now, could you imagine this? The God who created everything, all the galaxies. By the way, how many galaxies are there? You know what I did the other day? I asked Siri, how many galaxies are there? Siri knows everything, right? Well, not quite. But you know what Siri said? I'm honestly reluctant to even tell you what Siri said. Number one, I can't verify it. Number two, I don't think anybody can verify it. But you know, when I was young, they talked about the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. And then as time progressed into the 60s and 70s, they said there's a bunch of galaxies and that our particular galaxy is in a cluster of 35 galaxies and there are more clusters of galaxies out there. They don't know how far and how many. And then about 5 or 10 years ago, they said there are about 2 billion galaxies. And I said, 2 billion galaxies? That's beyond our comprehension, right? You know what Siri said the other day? And again, I don't know. I can't verify. Like I said, I'm even reluctant to say, but you know what Siri said? 2 trillion galaxies. I don't know, just a minute. Come on now. It doesn't really matter if that's true or not. But you know what is true? There are thousands and millions of galaxies. And according to the Bible, and there's no other authority than the Bible, God is the creator of all that exists. And if that God, who is so powerful to create all of that, is looking for somebody to show himself strong through, imagine what that God could do if your life was totally surrendered to the Lord. Think about that. You say, well, I'm an old person. Doesn't matter. I'm a young person. Doesn't matter. I'm middle-aged. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Only one thing matters is this, that you and I be Christians who are genuine, who live by what is written in the Word of God, and we believe that the God who created everything and the God who gave his only begotten Son to come into this world and bleed and die on a cross to atone for our sin because of man's rebellion against God, that God so loved the world, he gave his Son Jesus, that I might put my faith and my trust in him and believe that Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago to pay my sin debt. And I put my faith and trust in him. God will receive me into his family and make me a new creature in Christ and dwell in me through the power and person of the Holy Spirit of God. And God will enable me to live what kind of a life? A perfect life to his honor and glory. And God wants to show himself strong through this old man. And God wants to show himself strong through you. Will you let him? Will you be a candidate? Will you let him? Imagine if this group of people would say today, God, I want to be perfect with you, and I want you to show yourself strong through my life. And God, I want to be like Hezekiah in the first scripture we read. God, will you help me to have absolute confidence in you when I pray? And if I face a crisis, I can come to you in prayer, and I can believe that you'll hear and that you'll help. If you know the God who answers prayer as your God, and you have faith and confidence in him, look at the illustration we just read. Nothing else you need, brother and sister. God will care for us. God will work in us. Let's quickly close with the last thought on the bottom of page 4 of our notes. Kind of a negative thought, but I think it's appropriate. In Psalm 78, verse 40, How often did they provoke him, that is God, in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Remember when Israel was in the wilderness, Psalm 78 is a recap of their history from the 40 years wandering. Verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God. And here's my thought. What did they do? They limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. I want to close with a negative thought. Not the best idea, but let's do it. Here's the nation of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That is, they limited God. Could you limit God today? I absolutely believe you could. Obviously, scripturally, you could. You could limit God. How could you limit God? A number of ways. We don't have time to go through them all, but let me just mention one or two. You could limit God by having sin in your heart and life. Remember what Hezekiah did when he became king? What did he do? Got rid of all the idols. Get rid of all that stuff that took away from God. Got rid of it all. That's a great first step. Second step, like Hezekiah after that, he trusted God. He had a real walk with the living God. Brother and sister, if you have a real walk with the living God and you purpose according to the scripture to be perfect before him, you can have the most glorious life in this life in the here and now. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing in this world better than that. You say, you mean that's better than money? That's better than living in a palace and having 10 cars and having millions? That's better than all of that? That's all passing away, as you heard this morning in the first message. That's all passing away. Live for something that's eternal, something that's real. Don't limit God. But as God is scanning the earth today, might you purpose to be this person with a perfect heart that God can put his hand on your life and use you for his glory. Oh, brother and sister, be this person. I beg of you, be this person that can pray and God hears and God helps, and God answers. Be this person, mom and dad, that prays for the kids in your family and your extended family and pray for the church family, that God might help us to be a perfect people before him and bring him honor and glory. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you from the depths of our hearts today for the opportunity of looking at the precious truth of the Word of God again. And Father, your Word is rich with instruction. I pray that you'd help us now to walk like children of the living God. Help us to walk like people who are perfect. Perfect before God. Father, the scripture are full of examples of people who walked before you and you called them perfect. In your love and grace and mercy, when you see a heart that's broken, that's contrite, that's humble, you call that a perfect heart that you can work with and work through and show yourself strong through. Father, please help us to be a people of a perfect heart. And please help us, Lord, to be a light, to be a testimony, to be an example, faithfully representing God and his word to the people of this generation. We pray for your help. We trust that you will help us as we purpose to walk before you in love and grace and mercy. We pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.